Okay, we're in Perek Hey, in the midst of Mishnah Hey, which was a list of the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis Hamikdash on a constant basis. We're up to the second paragraph of Rav Chaim Volozhin's commentary, V'loi Hisriach. I had mentioned when we started learning Ruach Chaim that the themes of Ruach Chaim, and as a matter of fact, the reason it was written was in a great deal in response to Hasidus and to the Kabbalistic ideas that Hasidus gave its Hasidish color to. And Rav Chaim Volozhin, I guess, wrote two svarim, Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach Chaim, which gave sort of the other way of looking at Kabbalistic ideas. So a lot of this overlaps, and especially in this Mishnah, a lot of the things we're going to learn today to boys learning Hasidish Yeshivas would be much more of a common idea, especially that regarding the Zvuv, which we're going to learn and learn about in a minute or two. These ideas come not from Hasidish sources, but pre-Hasidish sources from the Kabbalistic ideas.
So types of miracles here, I think. One type of miracle is a miracle that you could say was a miracle right away. But there are other miracles that occurred that you couldn't say until after a lot of time passed. For instance, there was no psul in the lechem.
Some of them were miracles when they took place, and some over a period of time. That's very true. Okay. Good. Yisriach, we said no meat spoiled in the Beis Hamikdash. Lahara is to show. Now again, this is in Pirkei Avos. It's not just a list of miracles. It's a list of miracles that have some lesson that one can learn from it. So the fact that meat didn't spoil, what does that teach us? That if a person behaves in a holy manner, the koyach hatumah separates itself from him. Because the fact that meat spoils or that meat deteriorates comes from sin, who has sirchin shebe gehenim, which is something to do with the stench of gehenim. Rashi b'chay ve'ilam ariyah zeh b'chush avagashmiyim. It's just not physical, and therefore only when there's dead meat does it decay. I think somebody will tell you, a scientist will tell you that meat decays not because it sits around, but because there are germs, or there are bacteria, different types of bacteria that cause it to be destroyed. In a perfectly sterile place, it would not decay. And therefore, that idea that's a marshal to cheta avain, and that's the idea that this teaches a person. I don't know, I still don't get it, the idea that colds only come from germs. And every doctor will tell you that you don't catch a cold from cold weather. You only catch a cold from germs.
It's a virus.
So I always ask, if I go to sleep tonight, I don't have a cold, and I stick both my feet out the window near my bed, and I sleep that way till the morning, won't I have a runny nose in the morning? And the doctor will say, no, you won't. And I know I will. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm not even willing to experiment, but I'm sure I will. So there's got to be something more to it. I don't know why.
They call it a cold.
They say we call it a cold. They call it whatever word they have a name for it. So I don't know the answer, except that Der Rabbeinu Bachya says that the science of the inner body is not revealed to man. The wounds, outer wounds, are more precise, and inner body is more hidden. Yeah.
Cold weather weakens the body and makes it more susceptible to germs. Come in.
Yeah, but the way you say it weakens it, it's, I think it's 100 out of 100 that it's going to happen. So
there are germs everywhere. Germs now, if
no question, there are germs everywhere. Okay.
Come in and give you that cold.
Okay. Accept that. Okay. Yeah, well, why does cold make the body more susceptible to germs? Is that logical?
Because the immune system is
it. Does it?
Yeah. Immune system gets weakened.
Okay, so you have it. V'loy niru zvuv bebeis hamitbachayim. There were no flies in the area of the Beis Hamikdash called the Beis Hamitbachayim, which is where the animals that have been shechted were were taken apart. Aderech haremes kivnu l'maimer chazal, yetzahara daimu l'zvov. So as I said at the outset, this is an idea which somebody in Hasidic circles will be familiar with, that the yetzahara is compared to a fly, ve'ini yachal iskariv l'kedusha. And a fly can't start up with perfect kedusha like the Beis HaMikdash. Shekasev be'elisha. It says regarding Elisha, ish kadosh, that the couple he stayed by observed that he was a holy man. So Gemara says, how did they know he was a holy man? No fly would come upon his table. So that the flies that bother us apparently are some sort of a remez to some certain type of kayach hatoma. The Maral writes, interestingly, the Maral in his Pirish on the Shas there in the Agadita in Brachis, the Maral writes that things that are disgusting to a person, yeah, things that a person naturally recoils from, a person naturally doesn't want to touch or doesn't want, because it's disgusting to a person, that has some connection to Ruchnias, to spirituality. I would think it's just a human weakness. And he says, no, he says that it has to do with Ruchnias, and that's why, by Nish Kadosh, no fly, no insect would come upon him, a person finds it repulsive, and it stayed away from him. But Derech Melitza, Ulai Kibnu L'Masha Kosev. Derech Melitza means he's saying something tongue-in-cheek. Zavuve Maves Yavish, Yabi Hashem Reikeach, Yakar Mechachma. What it says there literally in Keheles is that the bad flies start up with the finest oil, kihine. Bibrachis amru ayetzahara daim lezvov, yayshemen shnei miftechei halev. The expression of Chazal is that the yetzahara, compared to lezvov, sits between the two passageways of the heart. Now what does that mean, the two passageways of the heart? Kiyamnam ayetzahara lepomim ena shaymer mekaymer bechalal asmali. Yetzahara, b'derech mashal, is on the left. It doesn't stay in the left. Sometimes it goes to the right. Now, I'm not talking here about the physical left and the physical right. We're talking about the idea of a place of Kedusha and a place of Tumah. So the Yetzirah doesn't necessarily stay where it belongs, telling people to do Averis. Sometimes it goes to the other side. Sometimes the Yetzirah tells a person that this Averis is a mitzvah. Hainu bein shnei miftechei halev. The Yetzirah doesn't stay in its own place by Averis. It creeps over to the mitzvah side and it tries to convince someone that there's a righteous idea in doing something which is really not good for a person. Ki b'ra'is ha-Yetzirah ki lo yocholoi la'adam la'sisei ba'avai nigla. If the Yetzirah sees it can't convince a person to do something that's clearly an Averah, hu mefata oisei b'derech mitzvah. He tries to tell him to do a mitzvah, l'mashal. If he can't get him to not learn, the Yetzirah says, hey, my pal, listen to this. If you're going to learn too much and you're going to be too perfect, you can end up making mistakes. Don't be so perfect because it's hard to keep to it. That the bad flies start up with the finest oil. Shemerekech is fine oil. How are you calling it bad? How could the Yetzirah start up with Torah? Doesn't it know it's good? Yokar mechachma v'kavid. The Yetzirah says, "Bin yigavaya kizel lesuch liizar megayva." The Yetzirah says that you're reaching too high a madrega. Yokar asichlas ma'at. V'harbe b'nei adam boim b'nifkei hamavuchais b'nyanim ke'elu ki Yetzirah shayftan umar lehem heta le'isar miyasha ta'iva v'zeh ha'yishara ya'akash. And now his example is that the Yetzirah tells a person if you're going to be too good, you're not going to be able to keep it going. And therefore, quit while you're ahead, so to speak.
Well, that's because Stephen used to criticize the
that what?
That they're learning, but they're big Bali Gaiva.
They're big Bali Gaiva when they learn.
Yeah,
It's interesting. What's interesting is that the Chassidim in many circles are tremendous linemen. That's what really the success of Satmar to a great degree is that Satmar took the parts of Chassidus that were acceptable and took Liman HaTorah. That's what that was the greatness of Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe, the parts of Chassidus that the Gra objected to, he didn't hold on to. If the Gra would come now and see some of the Satmar Batei Midrashim, he would think of the Litvaks, except for the fact that they say a U for an E or an E for an U, but they sit and learn, and they don't do Maifsim like some other Chassidim do, and that was the Satmar Rebbe's derech, and it's very successful. It's incredibly successful. There's a yeshiva here in New Jersey that has a one base medrash with 1,000 seats. That's Satmar's base medrash from Zalman Leib's Kiryas Yael, right? And they don't have Shabbosim. All the boys have to go off for Shabbos. They have big families, and they need the help of the boys. They have 1,000 bachrim in a base medrash.
Where is it?
And it's called Ridgewood, is it? New Jersey? Ridgewood, New Jersey. And it's just incredible, and it's a learning. It's a real learning. And that's just one yeshiva, you know. They have in other places too. They have Williamsburg. They have in
Lakewood also, I think.
And Lakewood, yeah. So, okay, at any rate, that's a digression. The point here is that the Yetzirah tells a person, uses mitzvahs for Averis. And although today, I don't think this particular taina washes well. Tell a person, if you do too many mitzvahs, you're going to be too good. I think on the contrary, what goes over today is that, the mushal is, when my kids were little, they'd say, write me a check for money. I say, how much you want? $10. So I don't give my kids a $10 check and sign it. So I tell you, you know what? I'll give you a $1 million check. Okay. So then I felt comfortable signing a check for $1 million and giving it to my kids because nothing can go wrong with a $1 million check because nothing's going to happen with it. It's very much what the Yetzirah sometimes does. The Yetzirah says, you want to learn, you want to steig, so go for the $1 million. Go for something that's unattainable. And that way, it knocks the person down. It makes it very hard for a person. All right, so that's the idea here, that the Yetzirah is the Zvuv that plays games with the Yetzirah Tov and the Yetzirah, confusing the two. So how do you know? How do you know if the Yetzirah is telling you something or the Yetzirah Tov? It's very hard. It's very hard sometimes to know. So I'm not sure myself. I have somebody I know is making a chasana tonight. I don't know if my Yetzirah is telling me to go and not learn, or my Yetzirah is telling me I don't know what to do after this. I replied that I'll come for the dancing, but I'd rather stay in Beis Medrash and learn. So I don't know if it's Atzlus or it's... what do you think? Huh? I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do afterwards. But we'll see.
But it's a mitzvah. Did you think about that? It's also a mitzvah to be
Mesameach Chasen. Yeah, I can go every night and be Mesameach Chasen. Question is...
not this Chasen Kala.
Well, it's true.
Okay. For another 5 minutes.
Just 5 more. Just keep on going for 5 more minutes. Okay. Abi has a good idea. Look what he says. He says, Ach omnam b'zei yibachin. Ima davash roitza d'blasis. He's going to tell you how to figure out if it's Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara. It's still tricky, but look what he says. Here you can test. If he has nothing from it, he has no pleasure and no honor. There's nothing in it for him, then probably it's coming for the Yetzer HaTov. The base Mikdachayim, the butcher area, it was the Shoresh Avodah she'ein sham shum tainig v'kavod. If you want to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Mikdachayim is not the best place to do it. They shechted animals. The Gemara says that on Pesach they were ankle deep in blood. Because it was a butcher store and all the dirty innards of an animal were there. When you show drawings or coloring books with pictures of Beis HaMikdash, they don't show the Beis Mitzchayim. They don't show the tables on which they cut up the animals and the insides of the animals, etc. Because he says, "Ein shum tiny v'kavid v'nira kibizayin." If you're doing your avodah there, you'll shem shemayim. If that's where you're going to choose to work, so he's saying this is the derech melitza that it's not the yetzahara. If what you're doing is something that there's no honor and there's no pleasure, and you're doing it because God said so, it's a mitzvah. So then you know it's a mitzvah. Otherwise, very, very hard
but
to figure
out. Rebbe, you get pleasure out of learning if you learn a nice piece of Gemara this time.
I get more pleasure except preparing shir for the next day. So,
if it's that.
So I should better go to the wedding, you're telling me.
No.
See, I don't know. On the contrary, but I do get pleasure.
Why shouldn't you get tayyik from a mitzvah?
But he's saying if you're not sure if it's the Yetzatayv or the Yetzahara, do the thing that's less pleasurable.
But I disagree.
He said.
Okay. You have a pen? You gotta put your hat on.
I asked Rabbi Miller many times. Yeah. He said that if you have the geshmak and learning, that's the shema.
That's how Egli Talzak Dham. So the geshmak and learning is not shalom.
The same thing.
That's Egli Talzak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Miller agrees with me.
Okay. Good. Okay. So you're voting that I should stay here. That's what you're telling me. Okay. I'll blame it on you. I'll tell them tomorrow they were sitting here and they had a bezdin and they paskin. Okay. V'loy ira keri. One of the miracles was there was no keri for the Kohen Gadol. V'yadua ki keri ein echet, rak ha'einish ala hirer. Keri itself comes upon a person, not as a sin, but as a punishment for improper thoughts. V'kohen Gadol ha'ya raya keri ha'ya l'mayfes shehirer. The Kohen Gadol would see keri, which is usually very private. This will become public because he would have to tell them, you know, I can't do the avayda today, it's Yom Kippur. So everyone would know v'hayu levuz la'ayin koil, and it would be an embarrassment. Chinafa gam shayu lepamim begeder kedei lirais keri shebem ishirer. Even though some Kohen Gadol may have done things where he would deserve to be a raya keri, makom akayim chas hakadosh baruch hakavodei shel Kohen Gadol lebal yizbaze v'loy ra'a keri. So he says that sometimes the Rav Yisrael would have not sometimes always had. Rachmanis and the Kohen Gadol, and since it's a private thing, he didn't let it become something public. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mida. V'loikavu agshamim eish al atzeham ha'aracha. The rains did not extinguish the fire on the Mizbeach. Kim lo yifla me'ashem l'bilti himtir al-makim ha'migdash ha'mizbeach. God could have made it just not rain on the Beis HaMikdash. Rak l'hareis l'anu ki adu ha'kavu ha'bavayda lo yashim b'bnei ha'kayel. The rain, it did rain on it, and it didn't go out to show us that somebody who is, in the Avaida is not going to have to back off for anything. I think there's a shmooze from Rav Chaim Berlin that, he said that fire gives warmth. Fire is a wonderful thing. Water is cold. Water is cold and wet. If you take water and you put it on the stove, the heat of the fire goes into the water. The water should love the fire. It warms it up. It makes it able to cook. Yet, when the water goes onto the fire, it puts it out. It should be its best friend and it puts it out. It's a sign. And when doesn't it put it out? When there's a wall between them. If there's a wall between the Eish and the Mayim, there's a pot, so then it works together, and then it goes together. So Hamlin said that as a, the influence of Yidden and Goyim in this world, that the Goyim should love the Yidden. Yidden bring a sense of purpose and morality to the world, and Kedusha to the world, yet the Goyim try to extinguish the Yidden. When there's a wall between them, as long as there's a hafchana, there's a wall between them, then it's possible to do something. When there's no wall between them, then it's very hard. So, okay, I guess we're gonna stop here.